time for Score Atlanta's official visit, Atlanta's only high school recruiting show.
Good evening, Atlanta. We are back and better than ever on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. You are listening to Score Atlanta's one and only official visit. We are the South's only all-recruiting radio show, which we always like to say and remind everyone out there. It makes us the very best in the business. I, of course, am Scott the Brain Janovich, joined as always by Doc Proc, Fletcher Brockter. We got Alex the A-Train Ewalt in here tonight. He's back after a couple weeks off.
He's been watching a lot of tape.
A lot of footage, high school footage, that is.
Mostly Hillgrove.
At least he's informed. But we have a very special show planned for everyone today, as always. Two important guests will be on the show, Dooley County receiver Keith Mumphrey, who he's already announced his decision, but we'll let him tell everyone where he's going here in a little bit. And that 920 Stevenson defensive tackle Michael Thornton will be on the show. So a very good show. Two good interviews. Excited to talk to both those guys. And I came into the studio today planning to say that it was a slow week on the recruiting front. But that all changed today when Connecticut linebacker Kari Fort committed, guys. And it came down to Penn State and Georgia, but in the end, the hometown... Well, I shouldn't say hometown because he's from Connecticut and he picked Penn State. But either way, the regional school won out. It's a big loss for Georgia. I know, Fletcher, you don't necessarily agree. But it is. It's a position loss. It's a big, you know, he's a big time recruit at the linebacker position. Fletcher, we talked about this last week. Georgia needs linebackers, and Kari Fort was a guy who a lot of people thought could be going to Georgia, and he didn't.
Well, yeah, this is a guy from the powerhouse state, the home of football that is Connecticut. Because recall all the popular and famous Connecticut football players that have come out. But yeah, this is a guy that it would have been nice to have him in the fold. Yes, of course, but they've got their eyes set on a little guy from Treasure Cove down in Florida.
Yeah, Jeff Luke.
Jeff Luke, whose best bud went to Georgia, much like Kari Fort's best bud went to Penn State.
Went to Penn State. And we'll talk
about...
They kind of had that little
agreement. Right.
We'll absolutely talk about Jeff Luke here in the next segment because we're going to talk about Bobby Bowden in Florida State. And it's relevant because Luke, of course, will be considering Florida State. But that school's in shambles.
Don't know why you would right now.
Right, that school's in shambles, like I was going to say. And it can only help Georgia. Of course, Keith Mumphrey also committed today. Again, we will kind of leave that open-ended until Keith joins us, but he didn't commit anywhere in state, for the record. The Georgia Bulldogs.
Can we tell them who it rhymes with?
You can. I refuse to.
Okay, let's save it. Let's let Keith,
because it's recent. It really did happen only a couple hours ago, and we'll give Keith the opportunity.
It was supposed to be on this show, but he kind of jumped the gun a little bit.
But the Georgia
Cat
Bulldogs
out of the bag.
They might have lost out on four, but they had hands down their biggest recruiting weekend last Saturday when LSU was in town. A ton of players were on hand. Three big time players from the state of Florida. Two of them probably aren't legitimate options, that being St. Thomas Aquinas defensive back Cody Riggs. Although, actually, I shouldn't call him not an option. He calls Florida his leader right now.
A lot of people think he's maybe a silent Florida nod.
I don't think Florida's going to accept it. I don't think Florida would accept his scholarship, to be honest with you.
Really?
I mean, his commitment. No, I don't.
Okay.
That's pure speculation. But he was in town. According to all, you know, by all accounts, had a pretty good visit. The other big-time guy who maybe not really seriously considering Georgia was Chris Dunkley, the receiver, who I do and a lot of people also consider
silent
a silent
Florida nod.
The other guy, though, is a Tampa cornerback, Terrence Mitchell, a big-time corner. He's a guy who's all about early playing time, as many recruits are today. And Georgia has the opportunity to offer early playing time, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Did you watch the LSU game the other day? There's certainly the opportunity for early playing time in the Georgia Bulldogs secondary.
Right.
This guy could step right in from Tampa, right up to Florida, or right up to Georgia. Either this guy or, you know, the other guy that Cody Riggs, like you were saying, either one of those two. And I think that's what Willie Martinez is trying to pitch, assuming Willie Martinez is still around next year.
And I should not have said that Cody Riggs is a Florida lean, because even though he's called them their favorites, there's a long way to go in that recruitment. They also had a lot of their own players on hand. T.J. Stripling, Ken Malcolm, Colton Houston, Jakar Hamilton. The list goes on. Just about everyone committed there was in town. But two of the biggest visitors, in my opinion, Fletcher and Alex, not just because of how good they are, but because of, you know, the legitimate shot Georgia has of landing these guys, were Juwan James and, of course, our guest tonight, Michael Thornton. We talked at length about their need at offensive tackle, and Juwan James is a legitimate option there, and he's the best in the state.
You're going to bring in bookends potentially in Juwan James as well as the kid down there from Bowles, Benedict. That would be nice for over the next couple of years to be able to say, hey, Juwan, why don't you go man left tackle? And Benedict, how about you go man right tackle?
Yeah, I mean, it's you can't have a better class just in terms of potential. Of course, sometimes people don't pan out, but just in terms of potential, Benedict and James are about as good as they come. Real quick, they also had a bunch of 2011 guests in town, Brandon McCowan and CJ Uzuma, James's teammates, junior teammates from North Grenada were there. Shaq Anthony was there, the big time running back who we had the opportunity to see. We'll talk about in the next segment. Was there. Watts Danzler, the big offensive tackle, was there. And James Vodder is probably the best player in the entire state, the big-time defensive end. The other guy that I think fans, if you're interested in Georgia recruiting, you got to watch out for Sherrone Peake, who is calling Georgia his leader right now. He's also looking at Clemson and Florida. This kid is A.J. Green's replacement. Big-time receiver out of South Carolina and someone really worth watching. Finishing up, though, it was interesting. I think if you're a Tech fan, I don't want to leave you guys out in the open without.
Since we are the official home of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets.
Absolutely. Or at least we say we are. Ryan Ayers and St. John Days played against each other this last weekend, which I think, I mean, if you're a Tech fan, and it's cool, but it's also fun for the kids. Of course, Ayers and Days. And I believe Days got the better of Ayers in the game, but Ayers picked off Days, right?
He did. He had a pick six. Hillgrove did go to a pretty easy win, but on the individual matchup, yeah, Ryan Ayers for South Paulding did take one back against St. John Days.
Maybe he'll tell Days, you know, how he picked. You know what I mean? Maybe he'll give him some tips. You're staring at your receivers too long. You're leading your pass. I don't know, but it was an interesting matchup. Of course, Days finished with a heck of a game despite the interception. Had 152 yards on 17 carries rushing, 152 yards rushing, 17 carries, 93 yards thrown for, and threw a touchdown to his younger brother, Jabari Hunt Days. We do have to get to commercial break, though. When we come back, like I said, we'll talk about Bobby Bowden, Florida State, and the impact that's going to have not only on recruiting nationally, but in the state of Georgia. You're listening to Sports Radio 790 The Zone in Score Atlanta's one and only official visit.
Score Atlanta is the ATL's only football plus sports paper and is available at all Metro Quick Trips, Kroger's, and Blockbusters.
It's here, Atlanta. Sprint brings you the first and only wireless 4G network from a national carrier. So now you get 4G speeds up to 10 times faster than 3G. It's faster than anything wireless available from AT&T or Verizon. Right now, a woman in a coffee shop is streaming 4 HD videos at once. One for each of her espresso macchiatos with a double peppermint shot. Just plug the Sprint 3G 4G mobile broadband device into your laptop for blazing fast 4G speeds here in Atlanta and 3G nationwide. The only thing 4G can't help with? Atlanta traffic.
Come on, it's 2 o'clock. You have to be kidding me.
Pick up your free 3G 4G device today. Go to Sprint.com/4G, a Sprint store near you, or call 1-800-SPRINT-1. Welcome to the Now Network. Average 4G download speeds are 3 to 5 times faster than average 3G speeds. Coverage not available everywhere. 4G available in limited areas. Speeds vary. Ends 1-9-2010. Business accounts only. Excludes taxes and Sprint surcharges. Subject to 2-year agreement. Up to $36 activation. $200 early termination fees. Credit approval and deposit restrictions apply. See store for details.
Okay, football fans, your fantasy league pays you for knowing which players are going to score each week, but will they cough up $25,000? I didn't think so. But what if I told you there's a simple contest that does, and all you have to do is predict the score of the Atlanta game. Each week, one lucky winner has the chance to go home with up to $25,000 towards a year's worth of mortgage. Sponsored by Equifax, the guys who provide your score and help to protect the power of your credit. Go to scorecontest.com to make your predictions. Hey, you could win big, and that's a fact, not fantasy. Go to scorecontest.com now.
Now the internet answers to you when you use Yahoo Search. It's easier than ever to find the things you're looking for. From that restaurant everyone's buzzing about, to the cool new site you heard a friend mention, to finding the things that matter most to you. Yahoo Search makes it simple to save, share, even add notes to your searches. It's the search you've been searching for. Yahoo Search. Only on Yahoo. It's you. Start your search on Yahoo today.
Yahoo!
It's time for another great moment in Chick-fil-A Bowl history.
Two tight end formation. Perry and Lynch behind McBride. McBride's going to roll left. He's all alone, and he's going to get in. Touchdown, Maryland. They fake it to the tailback. McBride keeps it, and Tennessee was waiting for the handoff. It never came. McBride gives Maryland six.
The Chick-fil-A Bowl is coming to the Georgia Dome on December 31st. For more information on the bowl and a schedule of surrounding events, visit ChickfilABowl.com.
The Hot Morning Show.
Mayhem in the AM.
Tuesday on Mayhem in the AM, we talk some NFL with Lenny Pastorelli at 8:25, James Brown from CBS at 8:40, and Mike Peterson of the Atlanta Falcons at 10 o'clock. Not Abe Froman.
The Hot Morning Show.
Morning 6 to 11. On 790 The Zone.
We are back on a cold evening in Atlanta at Sports Radio 790 The Zone. You are listening to Score Atlanta's one and only official visit. As I always like to remind everyone, we're the South's only all-recruiting radio show, which makes us the very best in the business. Fletcher, would you like to tell someone about Score Atlanta?
I sure would. You know why? Because Score Atlanta and 790 The Zone team up to broadcast a high school football game every Friday night. That's right. Look for the schedule at scoreatl.com.
Absolutely. Guys, I want to talk about Bobby Bowden, Florida State, the impact that the Seminole meltdown is going to have on the recruiting world. But before that, Fletcher, you and I were in Warner Robins on Friday night to catch what was clearly the best game of the week, if not the best game of the year, between Lowndes and Northside Warner Robins. Ton of incredible talent on the field, but it also ended up being a great game. And I just wanted to – I know you called the game. I kind of produced a webcast, so I didn't have the best perspective, if you will, but you certainly did. Give us some of your thoughts. I'll definitely share mine.
Well, you talk about Bobby Bowden's future, you know, clouding the recruiting, and it starts off with the AJC Super 11, Ed Christian, right. The guy for Lowndes that decommitted last week from Florida State, now thinks Auburn is his leader. But I think that speaks volumes right there, kind of tying into our topic. But what a great collection of talent at Northside against Lowndes. They say that Lowndes was the number four team in the country, according to some outlets. I don't buy that because Lowndes had a lot of difficulty completing passes, and I don't think you should be the number four team in the country if you can't even complete passes.
They were number four. They're ranked by outlets who have never seen them play, clearly.
Yes.
Because we were on hand. Continue. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, they've got a kid right there, and I believe – Kari Franklin
committed to Troy,
right? And I believe he committed to Troy when he was still a quarterback, and he has since, you know, switched positions to running back. And I saw they kept running that little sweep around the left side around Ed Christian's position. Obviously, it shows you how good he is. But he just had a burst that he can't run in between the tackles.
No,
he reminds me a lot of Reggie Bush when Reggie Bush was at USC.
He's smaller than Bush, though.
Right, but once. If he ever got into the open, he was very difficult to bring down. And there were a couple of guys that brought him down by miracle. Okay, this guy didn't score a touchdown. It was a miracle he didn't, because when he got in the open field, he was unstoppable. He had some other guys who were juniors that are pretty daggone good. Tyler Hunter is going to be a guy next season. He plays a little safety. He's going to play a little linebacker. He also is going to be a running back for them next year, too, if not quarterback. And he's going to be a guy that's going to be explosive.
Now, he's much bigger than I thought.
On the other side, you take a look at Northside. They've got a kid next year who says junior this year, and Shaquille O'Neal. I know, ha-ha with the name. But he's a guy, with the exception of Isaiah Kroll, who I believe is going to be the top player in the state next season, a running back from Carver. This guy is the number two running back in the state next season, in my opinion. This guy, not only is he big, he can get you 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but he had some moves when he got out on the outside. He had a juke move, and he was also pretty daggone fast.
Yeah.
Shaquille O'Neal
really
is going to be a name to remember.
A lot of good running backs in that game. I think Troy Braswell, a guy from Lowndes.
Yeah, he's another.
Not sure what his numbers were for that game, but he's been putting up a number of 100-yard games already
this season. Yeah, in limited touches. He's a guy that had 106 yards, 4 touchdowns on, I think, 6 carries 2 weeks ago. I mean, he's a guy that – when he gets going, he not only does the running back thing, but he's a cornerback, he's a kick returner, he's a punt returner. He's a guy that's going to be explosive next year as well.
Yeah, I'll tell you a couple things I noticed. Tyler Hunter, you already mentioned. I didn't think he was that big. A lot of people have compared him to Greg Reed, and he's nowhere near the same player. He's much more physical, much bigger than Greg Reed. Greg Reed's all of 5'8".
No, this guy's
Hunter's
very
6'1", 6'1". I mean, just a complete athlete. Ed Christian is also massive. He made the other guys along that line looked absolutely tiny, and that line was impressive. They come off the ball really, really powerfully. Good drive, and he's a big-time prospect. But back to what you were saying, Lowndes, the fact that they're nationally ranked is absurd to me.
Yeah, they missed three field goals. They could not complete a pass, right. And when they got behind,
it's not that they couldn't complete a pass. They don't even attempt passes. Here's my best example is
the only pass they completed was called for offensive pass interference.
Right, they were running up and down the field on them, and in the second half. The first possession of the second half, they ran up and down the field, or right up the field, scored, stopped. North side got the ball back and ran the ball all the way up to the 12 and on their next possession, second possession of the second half. I looked over at the guy I was sitting next to and said, "All right, they've got the ball first and 10 from the 12. Now they got to throw it here. They can't run three consecutive times in the red zone and expect to score." Well, what they do? Ran three consecutive times for about 2 yards total
and missed a field goal.
I mean, they have no ability. They don't even have it in the playbook.
I literally think it's crazy. The only pass that went, you know, longer than 2 yards was one that they threw into the end zone on, I think, the next to last play of the game, which was a reception, but it was offensive pass interference. They cannot complete a pass that's not a screen. They can't do it, and that's not the number four team in the country.
And unless – go ahead,
as
Alex.
As far as national rank, I think they're probably more around maybe the 50
or
they're
not even the number
six.
Four team in the state.
How do you quantify 60? That?
It's hard to. I mean, top 10, obviously, I think is a little much. And I think even in these past couple years when they've gotten that kind of those kind of accolades, it's still been a little bit much.
The whole idea, North Side,
Grayson, Southwest DeKalb, those are three teams I'd put ahead of them right now.
I agree.
They're maybe number four in the
What I was going to say is the whole idea of national rankings is absurd because those teams play in different states, different classifications. You have no common opponents, no way of measuring them. But like you were saying, Fletcher, even in the state, unless they're going to beat you with sheer speed and athleticism, the top teams in the state are better than them because Grayson is so much more multidimensional. It's not even close.
And if Grayson falls behind, they can come back and win, okay, because they've got a quarterback that's able to do that, all right? Now, if Lowndes falls behind, they better hope the wing T can get them a touchdown in a hurry, but if they were to ever fall behind by, say, 10 points, they're done.
All right, real quick, guys. Jim Smith, chairman of Florida State's Board of Trustees, has been incredibly critical of Bobby Bowden, as has anyone else who supports that program and is not necessarily an official there, i.e. fans, really 7 or 8 years, but really this year is kind of, I guess, the straw that's broken the camel's back.
That's because Bowden came in predicting this was going to be his last hurrah, saying this is going to be the best team I've had.
But he's also said, I'm not leaving until we win another national championship. No, just absurd things that, you know, if you consider what expectations.
He's senile then.
Realistic expectations at FSU are not even close to his expectations. My question for you is Jim Smith, let me just read a quote from Jim Smith, and you tell me if he's right in his demeanor, the way he's speaking about what is a college football legend. My hope is, Jim Smith says, frankly, that he will go ahead and, if we have to, let the world know that this year will be the end of the Bowden era. He said, I do appreciate what he's done for us, what he's done for the program, what he's done for the state of Florida, but I think the record will show that the Seminole Nation has been more than patient. We have been in decline now for not 2 or 3 years, but I think we're coming up on 7 or 8. I think enough is enough. Those are some harsh words when you're considering who he's talking about, no?
A guy that's brought them 2 national championships, a guy that's put them on the map.
Not just 2 national championships, 14 consecutive years in the top 5.
Lost a couple other national title games. It's been pretty incredible. But when you hire Jimbo Fisher and you give him, what is it, the $5 million golden parachute that if he's not the coach by, what is it, December 2010?
Next year. If Bowden does not.
You got to get rid of him. And number two, because you're not getting the players you once had. Now, is that because Chuck Amato left and went to NC State?
But Amato's
kind of
back.
In the road? Is it because Mark Richt left and now you don't have, you had Jeff Bowden there for a while? Yeah, Amato is back, but those years that Amato was gone, that's a
all
big
right,
talent
quickly,
void.
Quickly, should he be shoved out or should he get the opportunity to leave at his on his own timing, at his own, you know, his own discretion?
I think at this point the president, and it looks like they're making arrangements to move on without Bobby Bowden. It looks like the president of the school is getting going on that new contract for Jimbo Fisher. It looks like it's going to happen. Just one thing, we know that these boosters and everything, you know, that they have the people on the board of trustees, they have tons of influence here. Can you ever remember one coming out and saying anything like this at any program across the country?
No.
Yeah, Bobby Lauder at Auburn.
No. And how many programs have a figurehead or a coach with the prestige and accomplishments of a Bobby Bowden? I mean, that's the other thing. It's quite harsh.
For everything that Bobby Bowden built and he did build Florida State into something, by hanging on like this, it's tearing it away.
I agree. I also think it's silly to hire someone before. I mean, why is Florida State, now they have to, but why would you limit yourself to one coach, to a coaching search that is...
By the way, that was turned down by UAB.
And he's not...
Okay,
and
he offered UAB... And they said, we're going to go with Neil Calloway at UGA.
And in addition to the fact that he's a questionable head coaching prospect, he's a questionable offensive coordinator. I mean, even in his years at LSU,
Les didn't exactly fight to keep him there.
No, he was not a top-notch offensive coordinator. Now, it has affected Florida State's recruiting real quickly. Of course, we've already talked about Ed Christian, who is as good as gone. He says the Seminoles are still in the running. Not so sure about that. His reasoning for leaving is that he rushed into his decision. It has nothing to do, he says, with FSU. I don't know. I think
to Terrence Mitchell, the kid who was at Georgia over the weekend. He's another one. I mean, these guys should be going to Florida State. Should be no questions asked. And they're looking to lead the state. Right. Take it away from them.
Of course, the kid out of Burns, Corey Miller, is already committed, decommitted, and committed to Tennessee. Merrill Noel out of Florida is going to Wake Forest. So it is really hurting their recruiting. And another thing that's hurting their recruiting is not just the play on the field, or I should say their poor play on the field, but this Bowden situation. Do they know? A lot of recruits are saying, all right, well, if Bowden leaves and Jimbo Fisher's there, then that's okay. But we don't even know if Jimbo Fisher is going to be there. So there are a lot of clouds hanging over this program. And listen, Telvin Smith's another guy. There are some Georgia kids, Tank Sessions, Cameron Irving, and Telvin Smith, three guys who are still committed to Florida State from the state of Georgia who could potentially look elsewhere. We do have to get to another commercial break. When we come back, we will have an exciting interview with Dooley County receiver Keith Mumphrey. Of course, you're listening to Sports Radio 790 The Zone and Score Atlanta's one and only official visit.
Score Atlanta and Georgia Public Broadcasting webcast a high school football game every Friday night. Look for the schedule at scoreatl.com.
The Hot Morning Show.
Mayhem in the AM.
Friend of the show, Brad Nessler.
You call him a handsome man like five times in like six days a few
10 years ago.
No, but you notice he hasn't come in since then.
No, he's in once. He's been in once.
I'm not sure.
When Steak put his hand on my knee when I came in the studio the last time, I got a little nervous.
The Hot Morning Show.
Morning 6 to 11. On 790 The Zone.
Welcome to Defend the Dome Radio, featuring Falcons defensive end John Abraham. Welcome, John.
Oh, it is good to be here.
Now, John, it is simply amazing how different you look in person.
Look, Jim, the helmet covers my face. I tuck in my hair, plus everybody knows TV adds 100 pounds.
Wow, look at that. We already have a caller. Hello, you're on Defend the Dome Radio.
Hey. This is John Abraham.
Oh, what? John, you have a question for John.
No, I am John Abraham. This clown just thinks she's become me because she played my free online video game.
I don't think so.
Listen, at DefendTheDome.com, Falcons fans get to become me, John Abraham, and see what it's like to play for the Atlanta Falcons. Sack the quarterback four times in four downs, and you can win Falcons tickets, autographed jerseys, footballs, and more.
Wait, you're not Abraham?
Heck no, but I did just win his autographed jersey. Love you, John.
Visit DefendTheDome.com and become John Abraham. Free game, weekly prizes, sponsored by your local Ford dealer. Visit DefendTheDome.com for complete details.
He holds the record for most consecutive NFL wins against the spread with 28.
He has consistently won at a 70% rate over the last 3 years. He is the highest earning sports consultant in the world. He is Adam Wins. And Adam Wins joins Polligan Bell every Friday afternoon at 4:40 with the football picks you need for the weekend ahead. Adam Wins and AdamWins.com. A winning combination heard only on 790 The Zone. Football lives here.
The Hot Morning Show.
Mayhem in the AM.
Tuesday on Mayhem in the AM, we talk some NFL with Lenny Pastorelli at 8:25, James Brown from CBS at 8:40, and Mike Peterson of the Atlanta Falcons at 10 o'clock. Not Abe Froman.
The Hot Morning Show.
Morning 6 to 11.
The Hot Morning Show.
On 790 The Zone.
Back on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. You are listening to Score Atlanta's one and only official visit. We were supposed to be talking to Keith Mumphrey here. I'm convinced we will talk to Keith at some point in the show. But in the meantime, we have another. Well, he's not a guest. He's I guess, a weekly guest. Big B, the infamous Big B Brian Jones, is in the studio. everyone. I wish we had applause for that. Can we get some applause for Big B Brian Jones? No, we can't get applause. Never mind. Anyway, Big B every week. There we go. Every week, Big B comes out with a new top 10 list. This week, we're talking playmakers, the guys who, when they have the ball in their hands, can take it the distance at any time. Top 10 playmakers in the state, guys with the ball in their hands. Big B, without further ado, the floor is yours.
All right, kicking off the list at number 10, I got Jonathan Krause out of South Gwinnett. He's a wide receiver. He's committed to Vanderbilt. He was on my top 10 wide receiver commits, and last game against Akua, he had 136 yards, two touchdowns, and he's pretty much been leading South Gwinnett. They've only had one loss, and that one loss was to Grayson. So Jonathan Krause at number 10.
He's a good player right there.
Love
he's
him.
Obviously headed to Vanderbilt, and I had a chance to watch him a little bit last year when he had Michael Polizak, I believe it was his name, throwing him the ball, and even still with a new quarterback, he's made that quarterback look great.
Yeah, he's
probably a little too good, to be honest. I mean, I hate to demean Vanderbilt, but he's probably too good for Vanderbilt, to be honest. He's really a top-notch.
He led all of Gwinnett County last year in receiving. I mean, he is just a complete stud.
Yeah, so.
Another player coming out of Gwinnett County is Charles Perkins, coming in at number 9 out of Collins Hill. He's a running back, committed to Georgia Tech. He's pretty much been quietly, you know, leading, coming up the charts. You know, not a lot of people know about him, but the more, like, he had a game last week where he rushed for 204 yards against North Forsyth, and, you know, right now Collins Hill is undefeated, and he's probably one of the main reasons why that Collins Hill is rocking and rolling so far this season.
I've predicted on this show, actually, that Collins Hill will upset someone in the playoffs, and it's going to be because of Charles Perkins. I think Georgia Tech has got themselves a pretty good running back.
Yeah, this is really the team that's not getting any pub. I think they're still unranked, Collins Hill.
Right.
Charles Perkins quietly already a 1,000-yard rusher here, had a couple 200-yard games. Even our own Todd Holcomb, I think, watched one of his games, and unbelievably, I think it was his biggest game of the season, way over 200 yards, said it was an unspectacular 200 yards. So he's a guy that can definitely take it the distance, but he's also a steady runner who's going to pick up yards on every carry.
Yeah, real quick, guys, where do you rank him in the state as far as running backs are concerned?
I said last week I rank him in the top 5. Why? Because Collins Hill is pretty good.
There you go.
That was awful.
They're right. The Eagles, right?
Number 8.
They are the Eagles, that's right.
No, I would put Mac Brown number 1. I'd put this guy. I'd put Rajon Bennett, and obviously Malcolm and Storm Johnson.
To me, I don't know how you can have anyone ahead of Bennett other than Mac Brown at this point in the season.
I wasn't ranking them 1 through 5.
I'm just saying. I was just making the brain was making a point.
I would have Perkins in my top 3, though. I'd have number 3.
All right, number 8.
Another running back on this list is number 8, Ian Pemberton out of Grayson. Again, Ian Pemberton has been doing his thing since last year. Grayson's undefeated. They're now ranked number 1 because of Lowndes losing to Northside. He has rushed for 100 yards in every game so far this year, and there's no reason why he should rush for 100 yards in each game throughout the rest of the season.
Ian Pemberton, the little giant, so dangerous. Only 5, let's be honest, 5'3".
Yeah,
and yet he still can run in between the tackles, racking up 275 yards a few weeks back. Incredible.
Right, and I think the biggest testament to how good he is you named his size right there, you know, and he's still probably going to play Division I football. And to do that, you have to be incredible. Won't be an every down player, but he'll be a kick returner, punt returner.
About this. Obviously, he's going to get some love from the smaller schools like a Furman, a Georgia Southern, a UTC. But I would love it if there's a coaching change in Louisville, if the new coach came in and said, you know what, this guy could be my Brandon James.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Oklahoma State was talking to him about the very same thing. You know what, we'll bring you in on next week, and we'll figure out what's kind of happened in his
career. If Fulmer goes to Louisville, the first call he needs to make is to Ian Pemberton.
All right, I like the prediction. Right, numero 7?
Tyler Jones out of Gainesville, a wide receiver. He has been outstanding so far this year. Gainesville is undefeated. They're number 1 in Class 3A. In the last game, he had two touchdown receptions, and last year he had 1,000 yards receiving, I should say, and there's no reason he should get 1,000 yards this season.
Yeah, the thing I love about Tyler Jones is, I mean, I think he's a little overvalued because he does lack size, in my opinion, but he's so fast, runs incredible routes, really good hands, and once he catches the ball, he is incredibly deadly because of that speed.
At number 6, I got B.J. Bostic out of Jefferson County. This guy can do it all. Quarterback, receiver, running back, cornerback, you name it, he can do it. In the last game, he went 9 for 10 passing, 112 yards, and he also ran the ball well with 116 yards. And Jefferson County, he's leading Jefferson County to an undefeated season. And they're ranked, I think, 4 or 5 in Class 2A. So watch out for Jefferson County and B.J. Bostic in the playoffs.
Yeah, there aren't many players having a better season on the high school level than Bostic. Of course, everyone knows he's my favorite recruit in the state. I think as far as expectations are concerned, he's as good as they come.
Yeah, you know, everyone's excited about him coming in as a cornerback for sure. I think he'll be great in the defensive secondary. But I think this is a guy, his time at Georgia Tech, you might see him shuffled around a little bit. Right. A-back, wide receiver. This is a guy who's really, really dangerous.
He's a lot like Brandon Smith in that he's so good that you hate to limit him. You hate to bring him in as a corner, no matter how good he could be at that position, and say, shut down that receiver, and that's all you're going to do all game, because you want the ball in his hands at some point.
Another player that can play different positions is Blake Sims out of Gainesville. He usually plays a lot of quarterback, but also can play running back. He's a dual threat. In the last game against West Forsyth, he had 115 yards. Rushing, and he had 3 total touchdowns. And again, Blake Sims, again, as I mentioned, Gainesville is undefeated, and that combination with Blake Sims and Tyler Jones is going to be hard to stop in the playoffs.
Yeah, he's going to play wide receiver likely at Alabama. But just imagine this guy, not only on offense, but when you put him along with Jones and Dante Carr back there at the defensive secondary for the Red Elephants, you're not scoring those guys to the air.
You're not. I can't wait to see him line up at that receiver on the college level, because he's so explosive from that quarterback position, but he's also a great quarterback that I'm not sure. I just don't. He's one of those prospects that I don't really have a good perception of or a good conception of.
He's a guy that I think he's got 2 receptions this year, and he's got 2 touchdowns. So they get him the ball, and he makes things happen.
He'll be teaming up with another Sims, right? They have a
Phil Sims
from Virginia.
Biggest, probably the best quarterback recruit in the country this year. So he's also going to Alabama.
Coming in at number 4 is Derek Rogers, wide receiver out of Calhoun. He has good size. He's committed to Georgia.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, and in the last game against Gordon Central, who's a pretty good team, he had 120 yards and 2 total touchdowns, 2 receiving touchdowns, and that was all in the first half, because he didn't play much in the second half because they were blowing out Gordon Central. And Calhoun, again, they're ranked number 1 in Class 2A. They're undefeated. They're rocking and rolling. And with that combination with Rogers and Nash Nance, the quarterback out of Calhoun, they're going to be a tough team to stop also.
Yeah, I don't think I'm just saying right now, Buford is not winning the state title in Class 2A.
I don't see it.
There's too many teams right now with Lovett, with Calhoun, and just the fact that Buford is not dominant Buford
and
this
isn't
year.
It hard to lose Dante Carr and Storm Johnson in an offseason and still be the best?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is they did not even blow out Avondale, and no disrespect to Avondale. I got the chance to watch their game a couple weeks back. But
7-0 at the half.
But
7-0
in the past, that's a game that Buford wins 56-0.
They don't have the amount of just elite prospects that they've had the last 2 or 3 years. A guy like Rogers, I was going to say, he's a big guy, 6'3 or so. He's already got, I think, 1 or 2 90-plus kickoff returns for touchdowns. So he's a guy with size who can also take it the distance.
Now, I still think he's one of the most overrated prospects in the state. That's just my opinion.
That's because he didn't go to Florida.
No, it's because,
right?
He's,
Alex,
he's an upside.
If he had gone to Florida, this guy's got potential.
To get one flesh.
He's a sleeper potential.
No, no, no. He is all about potential, and I'm not knocking that. He has as much potential as anyone in the state.
Scott had that twitch in his face.
He's no Chris Dunkley. He's 5'7".
All I'm saying is he's ranked as the best player in the state right now. He's ranked as the best player in the state right now, and if you're a potential recruit, I think you fall a little in that respect. I think it's the sure things like Garrison Smith, the guys who aren't just about potential, who are already great.
Give me Chris Dunkley over Derek Rogers any day of the week, right, Scott?
Absolutely. Number 3.
Rajon Bennett comes in at number 3. We talked about him a lot. Adam McEachern, he has been
out of the pistol.
The pistol offense, that's right. He's been outstanding so far.
Take those switches away from him, please.
In the last game against Marietta, he had 219 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns, and those are just typical numbers for him. McEachern's undefeated. They're ranked number 6 in Class 4A, and again, I think they're going to be carrying the flag when it comes to Cobb County in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about a recruit who's already not only has potential, but has already accomplished something. This kid shows up every week, rushes for 200-plus yards every week, does it all fast, big, strong, catches the ball incredibly well in the backfield. He is an absolute star, and the fact that he's looking at Louisville and Kentucky and Vanderbilt.
Yeah, if you're Kentucky, thank your lucky stars right now. Sign him before Miami, Florida State, Clemson. Somebody else comes in and says, wait a minute, this guy is good.
He may be fine with that, though. That's the weird thing. He may just want to go to Kentucky.
His former teammate, Terrell Mitchell, is up there and is up at Kentucky, so maybe that's going for him.
There you go. Numero dos.
Mack Brown out of MLK. I had a number 1 in my top Raider running back recruits. And in the last game against Loyola, he had 133 yards. He's just outstanding. He has a lot of speed, can run the ball extremely well, can catch out of the backfield. He was injured in the last game, but, you know, M.O. King is with Mac Brown is going to be another team to watch out in Class 5A down the stretch.
Well, the interesting, thing about Mac Brown is he's often associated as with speed and considered a speed back, but he's a big physical guy who's got a lot of room to pack on even more weight than he already has. He's about 6 foot, and he's, in my opinion, an all around back. He's a guy who pushed the pile. Don't get petty. The guy who can push the pile for extra yards, but also clearly in the open space, he's got the speed to kill. And I think number one's a bit of a surprise, Brian.
A little bit. I completely agree,
by the way.
Of course you do.
With number one.
Malcolm out of Southwest Academy comes in at number one. A Georgia commit.
There you go.
Silly man.
I think, really, he's one of the better downfield runners in the state. He already has 11 touchdowns. He's leading the county in rushing touchdowns, averages 120 rushing yards a game. He's pushing 1,000 yards. He's just been nothing but short of outstanding. In the game against North Springs, he had 18 carries, 245 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Now, granted, that's North Springs, but still, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I had 200 yards against North Springs.
And he plays for the best team in classification 4A. I don't care about the Griffin Bears. I don't care about Westside Macon. Southwest DeKalb is the best team in Class 4A.
There you have it. Big B's top 10. When we come back, we truly will talk to Dooley County receiver Keith Mumphrey. You're listening to Sports Radio 790 The Zone and Score Atlanta's one and only official visit.
Speaking of scoreatl.com, every Friday night, Score Atlanta has the only real-time high school scoreboard for every game in the state. This year, the scoreboard is also available at ajc.com.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Are you ready for some football?
Football. Troy Aikman, Tim Brando, and the best national coverage of college and pro football anywhere. We're your home for sporting news radio, 790 The Zone. Football lives here.
Personal foul, caller number 69. Call was in poor taste. 15-yard penalty, and you must give up your Triple Hops Brewed Miller Lite.
The Miller Lite End Zone Show. Catch it every Sunday immediately following the Falcons game. Get your great taste, less filling Miller Lite at one of our favorite bars, Doc's Food and Spirits on Cumberland Boulevard, a quarter mile north of 285. If you're looking for a place that has cold beer, great food, and feels like home, Doc's is your place. There's always something going on at Doc's, including a happy hour buffet every Monday through Friday, 5 to 7. Every night of the week, Doc's has something different. Live music, trivia, karaoke, Texas Hold'em, and all the NFL action. So get your game on at Doc's, and while you're there, get registered to win tickets to the Miller Lite ATL Lounge, complete with cold Miller Lite and great food. Just one more reason to get to Doc's Food and Spirits on Cumberland Boulevard.
Now the internet answers to you. When you use Yahoo Search, it's easier than ever to find the things you're looking for. From that restaurant everyone's buzzing about, to the cool new site you heard a friend mention, to finding the things that matter most to you. Yahoo Search makes it simple to save, share, even add notes to your searches. It's the search you've been searching for. Yahoo Search. Only on Yahoo. It's you. Start your search on Yahoo today.
Yahoo!
Energize your company's growth at the biggest networking event of the year, Atlanta Business Chronicle's 5th Annual Business Growth Expo, October 29th. Join 3,000 executives for a stimulating day featuring Disney Institute workshops, expert speakers, and more than 100 exhibitors. Meet new prospects and get your team pumped, October 29th at the Cobb Galleria. Tickets are $49. Call 404-249-1065 or register online at businessgrowthexpo.com.
Keeping you moving, you heard?
Here's what you came for.
The place where the players play.
Former Heisman Trophy winner and NFL standout, Doug Flutie.
I got to let you know, Doug, I'm a Miami fan, and until I talk to you today, I hated you since 1984, brother.
Well, you're welcome.
Weekdays 1 to 4. 790 The Zone and 790thezone.com.
We are back on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. You are listening to Score Atlanta's one and only official visit.
Make sure to check out scoreatl.com for the best high school sports coverage. And now your chance to sign up for the Georgia High School Football Daily Email Newsletter, which comes out every weekday morning and is filled with the best high school sports news around.
And guys, we have a very special guest on the line right now in Dooley County receiver Keith Mumphrey. Keith, you there and how's it going?
I'm doing good, sir.
Hey, Keith, I know you made a very important decision no more than a couple hours ago today. We have yet to tell everyone listening to the show what that decision is and where it is you decided to go. So without further ado, we'd like you to, I guess, announce to Atlanta where you're going to be playing college ball for the next 4 years.
Well, Atlanta, I'm going to be playing college football at Michigan State University.
There you go.
With the Spartans for the next 4 years.
There you go. You heard it here. Congratulations, Keith, on that decision. And tell everyone a little bit about Michigan State and what sold you on the Spartans.
The fans, like, they make MSU. And, like, when I went there, like, I had a great vibe, and I was comfortable. So it felt like home, you know. Most athletes get homesick when they're that far. So me being that far, knowing that I wasn't homesick, made me feel great. So, you know, it just felt real great to me.
Well, they've got one of the bright young coaches, I guess, in the entire nation, and Coach D'Antonio. Did he factor into that decision at all, or was it more your position coach? Or talk a little bit about the head coach.
Well, he factored the decision, yes, sir.
Tell us a little about D'Antonio, and what do you like so much about him? How does he compare to some of the other coaches?
Well, what I like so much about Coach D'Antonio, he's a down-to-earth guy. He's, like, real cool. And like I said, he made you feel at home. And he was talking to me about, like, how he's like to be a trust with his players. And he said he treats each player as if they're his son. You know, like, outside of football, he has a relationship with all his players. And he told me, like, how he get them chances and stuff, like, how he teach them things about life and letting them know that they can affect, when they affect 100 people, they affect 10,000 other people. And that's what he was telling me.
Now, Keith, obviously Michigan State just picked up a huge win for the program over rival Michigan. Talk about the direction of the program. Where do you think it's going? How good do you think this team can be?
Oh, well, I feel that they have a chance to win a Big Ten championship and go to the Rose Bowl. They just young, but they got it's a lot of talent. And it's a lot of teamwork. So,
yeah, Keith, I'll continue. I'm sorry.
No, you can all continue, sir.
Thank you. I know a big part of your reason, or actually was your relationship with Dan Warner, their quarterback's coach, a big part of your decision. And talk a little about what kind of coach he is.
Well, he's a good coach. Yeah, he played a good role in played a good part in my decision. Because, you know, the way I look at it, Michigan State was the first team to offer me. So I felt that they were the first team to give me a chance. And even though I opened the door for other offers, I still always kept them first. So if it wasn't no Michigan State, then the way I see it, I probably would have not. I really wouldn't have the offers I have now. And I wouldn't be able to make no decision, you know. So it just feels great at this moment to know I'm a Spartan, you know.
This is SCORE Atlanta's official visit on Sports Radio 790 The Zone, being joined by Dooley County receiver Keith Mumphrey, who committed earlier today to the Spartans of Michigan State. And, Keith, what were the other finalists, or were there any other finalists? I heard around the rumor bin that Nebraska, Arkansas were also maybe in the top five. What did it come down to, I guess? Who did Michigan State beat out for your services?
The other team?
Right, well, right. Was there a top five or a top three
Michigan State? I have a top three. Michigan State, Arkansas, and Nebraska.
So what separated Michigan State from those two?
Well, one thing, Coach Dan, he's like, you know, playing on the great head coach makes it feel good. And second is that the education, you know, that's major. Because, you know, everybody's not guaranteed to go to the league, so you have to have something to fall back on. And so, like, knowing that they're the number one teaching program in the nation, and 92% of their freshmen pass on to become sophomores, you know, that's real good. And, you know, yeah, it's real great, you know.
Now, Keith, you talked about feeling at home up there. I couldn't think of too many different settings for you. You're playing your high school ball in South Georgia, and then you're going up to the cold at Michigan State. How do you think the transition's going to be? How are you looking forward to this?
And have you bought a big jacket yet?
No, sir. I ain't bought now, but I'm going to get one. It's just becoming a man. So, you know, if things go through in life, you just got to be able to adapt to changes in life and adversity. So it's no problem to me. So, you know, I'm just going to go compete, work hard, and do what I got to do.
Yeah, and we're talking to Dooley County receiver Keith Mumphrey on Score Atlanta's official visit. Now, Keith, I know you were hosted by Greg Jones, Johnny Adams, and you got the chance to meet a lot of the Spartan football team. How important were your relationship with the players themselves? And compare that in level of importance to, I guess, your relationship with the coaches. I mean, which was kind of more important to you, to get to know the players or to have a good relationship with the coaches?
Well, it's both. Both of them good. Like, to get to know the players, it felt good because when I got to know Greg Jones and Johnny Adams, like, the way they treated me, it felt like as if I had, like, known these guys for, like, 10 years, you know. You know, when you have known someone for 10 years, you have a good relationship. So it felt like our relationship was, like, this tight. You know, like I said, like, the vibe you get around people makes you feel comfortable, you know. So
let me ask you a question, Keith, obviously being joined by Dooley County receiver Keith Mumphrey on Score Atlanta's official visit on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. Michigan State obviously is a Big Ten program. The Big Ten has been catching some flack recently for being rather top-heavy with Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State. But, you know, on the bottom of the list, not as strong as, say, Arkansas in the SEC or even Nebraska in the Big 12. What do you think about Big Ten football, and is it getting a bad rap down here in the South?
Well, I think that Big Ten, it's a great place to play, but, you know, it's like...
Well, you're going to one of the better schools, so obviously you're gonna be dominating the Big Ten up there, right?
Yes, sir. I'm gonna be a boy dog. So, you know, I'm cocky. You know, this is the way I see it. So when I get in there and work hard, I'm just gonna be, you know, I'm gonna be unstoppable. This is the way I see it. Cause, you know, if you ain't cocky, then you really ain't no football player. So to play the game of football, you gotta be cocky and you gotta be like, you know, when you say you're going to do something, you got to do it. So, you know, like when I feel that right now, I'm on a mission.
Yeah.
I got to, sir.
Yeah, go ahead, finish.
I feel like I'm on a mission because I got something to prove my mom, and I got to pay my mom back and show her how much of a man, like how great of a man I can be, and show her like how I'm going to let life take me, how I'm going to let use football as a guide to take me further in life, you know. So I just got to be the man and show her.
Absolutely, Keith. I love the attitude. You had a 9-catch, 123-yard, 2-touchdown performance not too long ago. Talk about the ways in which you've improved as a football player on the field this year.
Well, I've improved, like, being a better leader, you know, carrying the team through hard times and a good time.
Yeah. So. Hey, listen, we're finishing up with Dooley County receiver Keith Mumphrey. Keith, are you going to take any other official visits to anywhere other than Michigan State, are you finished? No more looking around for you.
I'm finished. Mind made up. I'm finished. I'm just ready. Excited.
There you go. Hey, Keith, we appreciate you taking the time to speak to us on, I'm sure, a busy Monday night, and good luck on the football field.
Good luck to you, Keith.
Yes, sir.
Thanks again. That was Dooley County receiver Keith Mumphrey, confident kid. I love it. Fletcher, you were laughing. I think I was
loving his attitude.
I think what he said, you know, isn't said enough. You know, football players should have that hunger in their belly, the desire to say, I'm better than you. There's no way you can line up across from me and stop me. No chance. Never.
And he's got the motivation.
And if you do, then let's do it again, because you can't do it again.
He's got the motivation. He's going to play on one of the best teams in the Big Ten, which is exciting for him. You know, I mean, that really is, it's feast or famine in the Big Ten. And Michigan State is one of those that's feasting right now. And they are, well, not this season, but they are a pretty good team They're
they
a good
should
program,
be better, shouldn't they?
And their coach is one of the, I believe, is the best in the Big Ten.
You called him an up-and-coming coach, and here's my question for you. Is he? Is he still up-and-coming? Because Dan Tony.
Well, he might be there already.
He was 2 years ago, he was the guy. Brian Kelly of the Big East. He was the best coach. Right, but I mean of the Big Ten, yeah, whatever. He was the up and coming.
I think he
best
might be the best X and O coach.
But what has
in
he done since
Ten.
He's been there? I mean, last year they were bad. This year they look a little bit better.
They were bad last year.
9-3, 9-4.
Talking about they were bad last
year.
Lost to Georgia in the bowl game, but it was.
Who didn't lose to Georgia last year?
Florida.
LSU. Oh, no, LSU did. I'm sorry. Georgia Tech.
Alabama.
Yeah. The good teams.
Moving on.
The good teams
but,
didn't.
I think he's up and coming, man. I think that's a good program he's going to. And he's got the motivation to pay his mama back.
I also think Keith Mumphrey is an undervalued recruit. I think when you look at his offer list and what he's done statistically on the high school level, there's no reason this kid shouldn't be thought of more highly in recruiting circles.
Listen, 9 catches, 123 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's pretty daggone good. Because when you're a wide receiver, you don't have control. You can call for the ball every time. But you're not necessarily going to get it. So when the ball comes your way, you've got to catch it. This kid does.
Right, and he's got a lot of big offers to show for it. So a really top-notch prospect and a kid I think is
going
to
do
a lot at a school you think is up and coming. We do have to get to another commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk Georgia Tech finally. We're going to finish out their class. Assuming they have 4 spots left, we're going to finish out Georgia Tech's class. You don't
the official home of Georgia Tech.
You do not want to miss that. You're listening to Sports Radio 790 The Zone, Score Atlanta's one and only official visit.
And if you're wondering about Score Atlanta, it's the ATL's only football plus sports paper and is available at all Metro Quick Trips, Kroger's, and Blockbusters. Check it out today!
Football!
We have something of a football team here ourselves, you know.
West Durham.
Tony Bernhardt.
Len Pasquarelli.
And Vince Dooley.
The best local experts in college and pro football.
And part of the reason football lives here. 790 The Zone and 790thezone.com.
Hey there, I'm a squirrel, and it ain't easy being a squirrel these days. We got high acorn prices, trees getting foreclosed, and people driving around with old shocks. Adds about 10 feet to your stopping distance. Bad news for us squirrels. So make our lives easier by replacing your shocks. Come on, I still got to put 43 kids through college.
Take it from a squirrel. New shocks help your vehicle stop sooner. Monroe, ride safe. And September 1st through October 31st, 2009, purchase 4 qualifying Monroe shocks or struts and get up to $80 back by mail and rebate. Restrictions apply. Promotion details available at savingsquirrels.com.
Honey, why are we sitting on this fence?
They said we should wait.
Who's they?
You know, they, the people that say you should wait.
What do you say we stop sitting and start living?
If you've been waiting for the right time to buy a home, the wait may be over. Affordability has improved, and interest rates are still low. The National Association of Realtors wants you to know that homeownership is an investment in your future. To learn more about your local market, talk to a Realtor. Every market's different. Call a Realtor today. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. Markets do vary.
In my family, everyone has a different greeting card personality. My grandma loves funny cards. My daughter likes sweet cards. My son, he likes the ones that rhyme.
So how perfect is it that Walmart has greeting cards starting at just 44 cents? One stop and I can stock up and get the right card for everyone for the same price as a stamp. And just in case my husband's listening, I love the romantic poem cards.
Greeting cards for just 44 cents. Save money, live better. Walmart.
Football lives here.
Far back to pass. Fires to the end zone. It's caught. It's Greg Lewis. Touchdown. Oh, my heavens. Greg Lewis. Welcome to Minnesota. Lewis's first catch.
790 The Zone and 790thezone.com.
We are back. Better than ever. Sports Radio 790 The Zone. Score Atlanta's one and only official visit. Of course, we are the Sal's only all recruiting show, which makes us the very best in the business. I, Scott, the Brain Janovitz, joined as always by Doc Brock Fletcher Proctor. Alex, the A Train Ewald, is in the studio.
The Film Watcher.
The Film. The
we
film,
ought to call
Alex,
him. We ought to call
Film
him,
Watcher.
We ought to call him Ebert.
Ebert. Oh, like Siskel and Ebert. That's good stuff. Good
right.
stuff.
Quite a bit.
Because you watch a lot of film.
Guys, what time is it?
Do my homework.
Game time.
Time to talk Tech. Time to talk Tech recruiting. And listen, guys, they have 12 recruits already on the list, and probably more so for Georgia Tech than any other school in the country, that means something. A commitment means something at Georgia Tech because of Paul Johnson's system, the way he recruits kids, and the way he doesn't allow kids to commit and then look elsewhere. You commit to Tech and Paul Johnson, you better sign there. With that said, it makes it a lot harder to follow Tech recruitment. They don't have, you know, it's not like looking at Georgia guys and saying, okay, they still have 10 guys on their board at linebacker and 15 at defensive end. Tech, it's no one. It's like one or two guys at linebacker, and you're lucky if you know who they are, because the numbers, A, the class is so small this year, but also they just don't recruit more players than they need. They recruit the number of players they're going to take and nothing more, and if they miss out on a guy, then they add someone else to their list. It's a crazy way of recruiting, but it's true. That's how they do it.
Right, and you say four guys, you know, the four remaining players, if I had to take them, who would fill up this class? Well, it's definitely not guaranteed that there will be four.
But don't jump the gun here.
Well, definitely, but as things shake out, scholarship here or there might open up. But it'll be four.
With attrition, what do they have? Space for what? Officially one to two more?
Yes. Jonathan Dwyer might go. Josh Nesbitt's
okay,
not going.
Dwyer's gone. Burnett's gone. Burnett, they'll lose at least two guys to the draft.
They might stick around.
If not, John, three.
I'll say this. Jonathan Dwyer hasn't exactly had the dynamite season so far.
No, he's. You know why? You said he lost weight, right? That's what you told me.
He seems to.
To me, he looks slower. He looks slower than he did last year.
He's been
year.
Injured. He's had some injuries.
Just saying. With that said, they there are certain positions that they've already filled, right? Of course, we've already established they have 12 guys, one running back, two offensive linemen in Catlin Alford, Morgan Bailey, defensive end, one at that position, Anthony Williams, two defensive tackles, we'll talk about them in a minute, five DBs and a quarterback. To me, in my opinion, there are three positions they're set at for this class. They can move on. Quarterback,
St. John Days.
To me, you don't bring anyone else in that class. Obviously, they don't need any other DBs, right, guys? Ryan Ayers, Barry Bostic, Isaiah.
This is a stacked class. This will definitely go down as one of the top defensive backfield classes.
Right, and even if it weren't a stacked class, when you're only bringing in 14 to 15 guys, you can't bring in more than five at a single position. That would be crazy. And defensive tackle, right? I mean, Fletcher, you can talk about Sean Green.
Sean Green is a kid that he is just a space eater. You had a chance to watch him, the Corky Kell Classic, and that guy just made plays. Whenever there's a running back, he is not running at the middle of the line. He's going around the outside of the tackles, in which case Grayson's fast linebackers and defensive backs are coming up to make the plays. You just don't run straight ahead at Sean Green. I think they've got two defensive tackles, Denzel McCoy and Sean Green. Denzel McCoy is getting all the pub. I don't know why. Sean Green is the better player, in my opinion. I'm not trying to diss Denzel McCoy. He just got taken out in the one game that I saw. Perhaps he's had other games that are really good, but he went up against David Yankee, and Yankee got the better of him.
I'll make a guarantee right now. You don't need to be paid $5 million a year to coach football to know which one's better.
Sean Green
Watch
is the better
football,
one.
He's better. He'll be better on
not
the college level.
Not saying McCoy is a bad player, but he's just, of these two, one is just better than the
other.
And it's
not necessarily because McCoy's going to be bad. It's Sean Green is a dominant player. And if you're going to be a star at the college level, I always say
there's a lot of players not as good as Sean Green in the state of Georgia.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay? Just putting it out there.
And if you're, like I say, if you're going to be a star at the college level, you better dominate the high school level. And boy, does Sean Green do it. With that said, they have huge needs, Alex. One is at linebacker. To not sign a single linebacker in this class would be a huge mistake. And right now they have zero on the list. Do you have any names out there? I know Michael Carlisle is one that's out there from Jonesboro, top-notch player. I don't know. I mean, I think Tech's looking at him, but
I think that could be one that
he doesn't have a Tech offer.
He does not have an offer, like you mentioned here. I think with linebacker, you know, there were some misses. There definitely were. You know, there's a guy.
Oh, like who? Like Jeff Luke? You guys waiting on Jeff Luke?
Well, he's not technically a miss yet, but there's, you know, he's one of the guys on the wish list that's
keep
wishing.
Yeah, hold out for him, and you won't, and you'll end up a zero.
Well, I think
you better try to find a magic lamp. Okay,
I think you'll see a guy like Carlisle that'll definitely start getting bigger looks from Tech as things go on.
He's got to get an offer though.
He does, but they need a linebacker.
What about this? Telvin Smith is a guy, if I were Tech and I saw what was going on in Tallahassee at Florida State, I would say I would knock on Telvin Smith's door tomorrow.
Is Paul Johnson going to do that, though, because of all the crap that Paul Johnson puts out there about if you're committed to me, you're not allowed to look elsewhere? So if a recruit's committed elsewhere, like Stephen Hill was last year, you know, is he going to go in there and try to sign him?
Yeah, I mean,
I would think that's
you're
hypocritical.
Since he's not allowed committed players, yeah. He wouldn't do.
Why would he do that? That's going against, in my opinion, what you said.
I don't know if he's doing it out of principle or if he's doing it just because he doesn't want to take the chance.
Regardless,
of losing
though, I saw Telvin Smith last week in the Lounge Northside game. Telvin Smith, if they can get him, if they can poach him from the Seminoles. Wow,
would be absolutely
that guy
huge.
Came up with some big time hits.
Yeah,
big time.
But other than those two, there are no real linebacker choices in this state. And of course, there are linebackers in this state who haven't committed somewhere.
What is Carlisle
Ogletree,
not?
The little Ogletree is one of them.
Why
little
does Carlisle
Ogletree.
Not have an offer from Tech?
It's crazy because they're nuts. They're crazy over there. They only offer